Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of our broadcast and just to spend some time with us on the air. We have a great lineup for you today. We have a Cheryl Geisbrick. I'm challenging with her name here, but we have her. She's going to be up here in the first segment. It's an interview that we did from the ICRS, and she's very, 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 I mean, she's awesome. She's very energetic. I guess that's the word I have to use. Energetic. She's always just moving and shaking and getting things done for the Lord. But she has a radio show as well that she does on radio stations, and I believe it's in New Mexico or Arizona. One of those. Anyway, she'll tell you on the interview. And then also, she also provides, if you've been listening to Rev Media Network and any of the channels, and all our four channels, I keep hearing, I keep saying our five channels, but we only have four. Well, let me go over again. Talk radio, Christian music, music channel, talk radio channel, sermon channel, and counseling and prayer channel. The Spirit is working in me, and it is putting together something that we need to put another one together. I'm really feeling that I need to put a Spanish channel together, even though I don't speak Spanish. I'm Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish, and I will have to get that going and partner with some people and put that together. But either way, my friends, have a great lineup. We have Karen Jensen, who will be part of our second segment. We have a 25-minute, 30-minute interview with her. She's written the book, Why God, Why? But she also has a great testimony, and she covers a lot of stuff. And both these beautiful women, we have them on our broadcast. We have Cheryl. She's on our radio programs. She provides one-minute spots, even four-minute shows for us. So we air that on the channels, mostly the 60-second, one-minute ones. Those are the ones that we put throughout the broadcasters on all four channels. And then Karen provides videos. She has every chapter of her book has a video to it. And we have that playing on my show, Midwatch. We have that playing on the station, just the Rev Media TV in general, is just playing commercials through there. She has those 1 minute spots through there as well. And then we have them on the Rev Media TV. We have a new thing called Rev Pub TV, which is Rev Publishing TV, which is the book channel that we're trying to put together and get all these interviews that we have, all these book interviews to promote everyone on the book channel. So anyway, those are the things that we are working on that we have right now put together for you. Let me give you something new that we also have, and that is our Rev Media text line. If you can text us at Rev Media, that's REV Media, to 77948. You subscribe to our David Yanez Ministries, and we'll keep you updated with some things that are happening in the ministry and things that are going on. We'll shoot you a blast when something comes up, especially like this India thing that hit. I could have easily sent everybody that's listening, that's been a partner with us, that wants to get these subscriptions, I could have easily sent you just an update of what's happening and stuff. And then also, I'm working on a couple of other text names. I'm thinking of one possibly for guest text, like guest to 77948. Don't do it right now because it's not set up yet. But just put, I guess Midwatch would be good. Midwatch. Do you know? I mean, that sounds good to text Midwatch. It'll tell you who's going to be on the air with us and stuff so you can plan your calendars. And then also, believing of having one for my ministry campaign, the healing ministry, that is just growing stronger. It's growing stronger. I told you I was at this church this last couple of days, and it really, really blessed me to be a part of their church, and so many people touched and healed. I went back this last Wednesday, just to take the kids to the Harvest Festival that they were having, and I tell you what, my friends, I was really, really encouraged with what I was seeing. I was really encouraged with how God was ministering and touching people's lives, and I was just excited about seeing the work of the Lord happen. There were so many people that were just, there's an awesome presence of the Lord. I know I shared that the last month with you, an awesome presence of the Lord there, and I just enjoyed having this time to minister and seeing the gospel just, the words I preached out of the Word of God, the healings and miracles, just created an atmosphere there. I mean, the presence was there already. I just stepped into it and start working, and it was, didn't have to pray hours and didn't have to think of what I was going to preach, and just left it in the hands of the Lord, and it worked out wonderfully for me. It worked out wonderfully for me. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You could always, always, always ask for prayer at 888-642-4767. You know, my 800 number gets a lot of calls, and most of those calls are people asking me to turn off their security system. I do not know how our 800 number has gotten confused with those things. But we are not a security person. In fact, when they call, I ask them, do they need prayer? And they hang up the phone. He goes, pray that my alarm turns off. That's what one guy told me. And you can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. Again, that's david@revmedianetwork.com. And I look forward to being a part of your life daily, Monday through Friday, here, 11 o'clock. We're here, and we're being a blessing to you, hopefully, prayfully. Anyway, we'll be right back with Miss Cheryl Giesbrick. I think I said it right there. I think I said it right. Here goes Cheryl. Let's see how.
Show. This is your host David Yanez, and I'm with my very good friend I just met, and she's energetic. She's out there dancing in the hallways before I could even. I was like, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes. I'll just go ahead, David. Go. You know, God has a plan, and every time He has a plan, that devil's going to try and fight it. You know, He can't beat it. He can't stop it. And that's a good segment to say. She wrote a book, Get Back Up. And well, welcome to the store, Miss Cheryl.
Thank
Giesbrecht.
You.
Cheryl
Thank Giesbrecht.
Did I say yes. it right? Giesbrecht.
You did great. Cheryl Giesbrecht.
And I tell you, she does a lot of things. I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump into here and
great.
Talk about your book.
Thank you. I love Christian music, David. And you saw me dancing because I'm a DJ out in Bakersfield, California with 88.3 Life FM. We're all music. But I also do short features.
Okay.
They're about Bible teaching because I love God's word. I love to teach it.
I need features for my station.
All right.
I need them. So that'd be good.
And I also work with an international training ministry called International Christian Ministries.
Okay.
We work with African leaders in the Middle East and Africa. We also mobilize American churches to train our leaders.
Wow. Wow. So how'd you get into radio?
I just started exhibiting my short feature idea and got picked up. By Christian radio
and
station.
And so do you have a couple hour show? Or?
Actually, one of the features is 5 minutes. The other one is 3.
Okay.
So, yeah, real short.
Short, but that's good. That's just get the message out. That's
Amen.
Pretty much everyone's attention span anyway.
That's right.
Anything longer, they're like flipping the channels on you anyway. So that's good. So tell us about your book. What caused you to write this? I mean, you're telling me before you have 3 chapters
Ten total chapters, but there are 3 big issues. What caused me to write the book was actually when my college sweetheart, the love of my life, was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, wow.
My pastor husband died, and now it's been about 3 years and 9
wow.
months ago. So actually, when he
That's
died,
very hard.
I realized that I needed to get this message out. I've also recovered from a drug addiction when I was a teenager. And that's in the first part of the book. You'll find out about that. But let me just share with listeners, there are many of you that are struggling with drug addiction. And God is able to help you with that.
Amen.
One of the scriptures that I love is, love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. And that's my life verse, because I was left to the Lord through Jesus, through people seeing that I had potential, even though when I was at a Christian camp, I was bringing my drugs with me. I had all these anger issues. I looked like weird
wow.
hair and all this stuff
yeah.
going on. But yet God showed me the love of Jesus through people that saw God's potential in me.
Amen. That's amazing. So you're a cancer survivor too.
Yes.
Tell us about that. You've had some things happen here.
I have.
I mean, widow.
Yes.
Addictions.
Yes.
And cancer.
Yes.
And how old were you when you got the cancer?
The cancer, I was age, no.
Okay. Was it long ago?
It was about 7 years ago, yes.
So that's pretty recent.
It's pretty recent, but praise the Lord, I'm totally healed of stage 4 cancer.
Amen.
What happened with that, though, was God slowed me down. And it was difficult. I'm a control freak. Hello, if there are any other control freaks out there, this was things that I had to learn that I couldn't have learned any other way. But what I had to do every day was Psalm 121:1, which says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From that's where
Sorry.
My help comes from. But I made that choice to look to God and to see His blessing through His people. Because what I found out was there were a lot of people who loved me and my husband, who was a pastor in Bakersfield, California. They prayed for us. They fed me. They
Amen.
Took care of me in that. They even decorated my house for Christmas. They baked
Amen.
Me Christmas cookies. It was just amazing to see the family of God take care of me during that time. But what I also had to find out was that there are many lessons about life that I needed to learn. And one of those was from Psalm 90, verse 12. It's the prayer of Moses, and it says, "Teach me, Lord, to number my days that I might present to you a heart of wisdom." Mm. And what I love about that scripture is God had to really slow me down in order to show me that he had some things that I had to learn, that I had to say, "Okay, Lord, I thought I was in control of my life. There was no cancer in my family.
Okay.
There was cancer in my husband's family. We thought that
he would be the one."
Yes, anything, right? Exactly. In fact, we were looking at each other across from the hall in the doctor's office, and we said, "Lord, you must have the wrong Giesbrecht, because there were two Giesbrechts that died of cancer in his family, and we didn't think it was going to be me. We actually thought it was going
to
be me."
So your husband was there for you to go through the,
yes,
to get you through it. And how big a help was that?
Oh, my gosh. He sat with me through every single chemotherapy. It was just amazing. So the lessons that I learned from lymphoma, which was the type of cancer that I had, I believe that I couldn't have learned any other way. But I had a choice. Would I allow God to teach me? Or would I tell God what I needed to learn? No, I control freaks, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We tend to want to be in an advisory role to God, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to say, "Okay, God, I'm listening. You've slowed me down. I'm laying on my couch." It was about a year process from the time that I found a lump underneath my left eye, and then it turned out it was lymphoma, which is a blood cancer. Some of you know
really?
About leukemia.
Yeah.
Lymphoma is one
I've
of the ones.
I've heard of lymphoma.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. But praise the Lord, I remember the day that my doctor called me after 9 months of chemotherapy and surgery. He said, "Cheryl, I can't believe it. I can't find any more cancer." Mm. To God be the glory.
Amen.
He
that
healed
is
me.
God. That
he
is did. God. Only God can do that. And trusting in him and let him, giving him the time to do that too. Because he can do it instantly, but there's something you're learning. And there's something you're grasping. Tell us about some of that something you're learning, something you're grasping. I'm sure it's in your book.
No, I just thank you for that. Because, you know, I learned that I needed to spend time with him every day, and that needed to happen whether or not I felt like it. And sometimes it was only 10, 15, 20 minutes because I was exhausted when I would wake up, but I chose to have time alone with the Lord. I also chose to let people help me, and that was really hard because I was used to being the one to make the meals for people. As a pastor's wife, I would be the one to call people and pray for them, go visit people in the hospitals. But I had to be on the receiving end, which was very difficult. But I also had to choose to be with the Lord and let him teach me. I was writing a book at that time on the names of God and the character of God and the attributes of God. And God taught me a lot about Jehovah Rapha, the healer.
Yes.
I studied stories of healing in Luke 10, you know, the story of the 10 lepers. And that was the one that I really grasped onto was, remember, 10 of them asked for God to heal them, and only one went back to do what?
To think.
That's right. And I want to be that one leper that, because God has healed me, he's chosen to show me favor by healing me and giving me a physical life. Every breath that I breathe, every word that I say, I wanted to glorify him, and I want to thank him with my life.
Amen. Now, sure, I know that through each of those things, anyone could get angry. With any one of the things that you went through, anyone could get angry. And how important was it for you to hold back that anger? And did you get angry?
I got angry at first, but then I also realized, you know, who am I to get angry? It's God's grace and mercy that allowed me to keep on going and to allow God to keep teaching me through these things. When Paul was killed, that was very difficult. I got angry at God at first because of the way the whole thing happened. He was an avid motorcycle rider, and it wasn't my thing, but we would try and pair up in ways like I would drive my car to a certain destination and he would drive his motorcycle up and meet me. And this certain day, I'd done a women's retreat, a one-day retreat at a location near my home, and so he'd ridden his motorcycle up to visit me in the afternoon, and we walked around the retreat center. So actually, I taught Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12 that day.
Mm.
And so some hours later, when he went to be with the Lord, I was just grappling with, "Lord, what is going on? You know, we had made lots of plans, and you said you have plans for me, plans not to harm me, and this is horrible. What am I going to do now?" So at first, there was a time where I was like, "What are you doing?"
Mm.
And I think that's a natural reaction because you know, here's my life partner here one day, gone the next hour. And I was just like shocked.
Mm.
then as I processed and let God heal me and let God show me what he was doing, because I'd prayed a prayer beginning about 8 weeks prior, heard it at a Bethmore conference. It's a prayer she'd been praying. It's, Lord, protect my family from everything but God's glory. So that's what I'd been praying for my family. And I decided to say to the Lord, okay, I've been praying this prayer. So how are you going to glorify yourself through the death of Pastor Paul? Because it was big for my community.
I bet.
It was huge because of my radio station personality, but also he'd been a pastor at three churches. We'd worked internationally together and separately. And it was
sudden.
Just like that. And as you know, in our society, there are many things, people that we see are making an impact, all of a sudden they're just gone. Heart attack, whatever. It doesn't matter. Even if they have cancer and they die gradually, it's still very difficult when they go.
It's an impact to your life. Right there.
So was I mad? Of course. Yes, I was. But then as I was mad at God like this, I decided, you know what I need to do is say, okay, Lord, what is it that you have for me to learn? In the other lessons that I'd been through, many, many things, even that are not here.
Yeah.
You know, a book is just part of what God is showing you. And it's about his glory. I decided, okay, Lord, if Paul's death can make a difference for you, if it's my story for God's glory, then that's what I want. And that's what he would want for me. So did I get mad? Of course, at first I did. But then I had to realize, you know, this is not about me. It's about God.
Amen.
And if God can be glorified, then I have to claim Isaiah 57, 1 and 2, that says the righteous will pass away. Godly men will die before their time. But the righteous men who pass away, they rest in peace as they lie in death. And I love that scripture.
Amen.
Because I realize, okay, Ecclesiastes also talks about death. Ecclesiastes 7, 1 says, the day you die is better than the day you are born.
Yes.
So why would I want to prolong my husband's specific time of life? I can't do anything about it.
That's right.
But I also realize that God says in his word, the day we die is better than the day we were born. Heaven rejoiced when Paul got there. I need to say, I miss him every day. But I also thank God I know I will see him again.
Amen. Tell everybody how they can get your book.
You can get my book by going to FromAshesToBeauty.com. I'm also online at CherylGiesbrecht@AOL.com, as well as on Facebook and also Scribd and Twitter.
Amen. Thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you.
God bless you. And we'll be back with another great guest in just a minute.
Get out a hat and sunglasses. In San Diego, law enforcement agents are using video surveillance cameras and facial recognition to pick faces out of crowds. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with details in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy. It's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Privacy-invading technologies are coming online faster than you can scream Big Brother, and one California company called Face First tops my spooky list. Face First has developed scanners that can sweep a crowd from 100 feet away to record every face and feed those images into a database. People are identified in under a second. Already deployed in Panama, Face First is now being tested on San Diego streets. Imagine the feds, drones, marketers, and stalkers all scanning our faces and identifying us as we walk down the street. Yikes, I'm buying a floppy hat and some sunglasses. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Here's Trace Embry.
When it comes to parenting, there's a popular new teaching that attempts to distinguish a difference between punishment and discipline. The problem with this teaching is that it's too easy to get the idea that there's little place for punishment because it focuses too much on the recent past and gives Junior the impression that his parents simply want to get even for sinning against them. I don't think this is the intent of many of these well-meaning teachers, because if remembering the past is all that harmful, then we might reconsider the importance of history. An added benefit of punishment is that it steers other little would-be rebels away from folly themselves. No, punishment certainly isn't the end-all to discipline, but like history, punishment still is a vital component of it, and it's certainly biblical. Proverbs 19:25 says, "Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence."
Trace Embry has worked with teens and families for over 20 years. Get your parenting license back at licensetoparent.org. That's licensetoparent.org.
You may know that Bill Maher, comedian, television host, political commentator, attacks people of faith with a smile on his face. Now imagine the news it'd be if Bill Maher turned to Jesus. It's hard to imagine such a rebel changing, but it's just the kind of work Jesus does. I'm Perry LaHaye. Umar, an angry Nigerian Muslim, hated believers in Jesus. He and some friends decided to kill Christians at one of their meetings. When he showed up, the speaker was talking about the forgiveness of Jesus.
I felt God reaching out to me to show me I have been blinded. I decided to surrender my life to Jesus for loving me the way I am and for giving me grace.
Umar apologized to all the people he had harmed and became a follower of Jesus on that day in 1989. Now he's reaching out to Muslims in Nigeria, even in the face of attacks from the Boko Haram terror group. Jesus is transforming the Muslim world through love, and he's calling you to join him there. Cast yourself in. FrontiersUSA.org.
Do you ever wonder about yourself when you look in the mirror? Do you ever wonder what you'd look like if your eyes were just a little bit bigger or your nose just a little bit smaller? Hi, I'm Terry Squires, and I'm here to tell you that you are beautiful. So stop wondering what God was doing when He created you. You are His child, and He adores you. And He has ordained every single day of your life. Listen to this. "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, and I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained before me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Psalm 139:13-16. So never forget that you are beautiful.
President Harry Truman said the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. "If we don't have the proper fundamental moral background," he said, "we will finally wind up with a totalitarian government that does not believe in rights for anybody." End quote. If morality is not rooted in God's character, then it's found in man, the mob, or the state. We kick God out and then wonder where He was when the slaughter took place. Psalm 2 says, "The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His Christ, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.' The cords of the Ten Commandments are too binding for them. They rage because they want to be free, but Jesus says, 'He that sins is the slave of sin.'" ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. Lose your life for Christ and save it.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. We actually have Miss Karen on the line with us now, and we were playing the part from the ICRS that I had the pleasure of meeting her there, and we just were throwing something on real quick while we got her on the air with us. Praise God. But we're here now, and how you doing, Miss Karen? Oh, I'm sorry. There, now we can hear you, darlings. How are you doing, darlings?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I always have something ready to play just in case we have these little things.
That's good.
Hey, Karen, I want to first tell you, you've been a blessing to our station. We've been broadcasting your 1 minute chapter videos that you have.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, and it's been going well. I play them on my show on Midwatch. I always have one on there, and then I also play them throughout the station. And then we created a new channel. Called the Book Channel.
So
we have them playing. They're all playing through that. So we have
awesome.
You know, I've had so many interviews with authors and stuff, and I'm just trying to find another way that I can help promote them. And that was just one of the things that I was like, well, I have so many interviews. Why don't I just make a book channel? And
there you go. Good idea.
It just worked out and everything. Karen's written the book, Why God, Why? And I'm glad to have you live in the studio because we have a little bit more time than we had at the ICRS. And I was telling everybody that you really touched me just by bringing that little Starbucks card back to me.
You're welcome. I'm like you. I can use... You can't have too many Starbucks cards, can you?
Oh, no, you can't. It just because, you know, I'm out there giving as much as I can, and then for you to come and give back was just such a blessing to me, and I just want to tell you that.
My pleasure. I really enjoy talking with you.
Well, tell everybody just a bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into your book.
All right. Well, let's see. I've been in ministry quite a while, but really the story that the book starts out with is my husband and I were pastoring in Idaho, and we were 37 years old, and he just died suddenly. Hadn't been sick or anything like that. And so, you know, we had questions, and that's kind of where the title of the book comes. And I went on to pastor the church and raise my teenage sons by myself. And now today they're 29 and 30 years old, both serving God. And now I'm a teacher at Rhema Bible Training College in Tulsa, which is a delightful place to teach. And it's where, you know, lives are affecting the world every day. And, so that's a little bit about me. I'm blessed by God, just like you.
Amen. Amen. Now, you weren't expected to be a pastor at all. Tell everybody that, because that's quite a journey for you. And how did everybody respond when you had to take over the position?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of... There are people who believe women shouldn't be pastors, you know, and so there were some of those, and there were people... A lot of people just showed up to help me, I'm telling you. I'll call it the worst time of my life, except it was the best time of my life because I pressed into God and saw His faithfulness, and also so many people rallied to help me, you know, and my sons, and really God's people are great to be a part of the family of God, isn't it?
Oh, amen, amen. So were there some things that you didn't feel like you were qualified to pastor, or you just didn't want to be in front of people pastoring?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would think everybody, you know, everybody in ministry once in a while feels unqualified, don't we?
Every day.
I had experience preaching. You know, I had been a children's pastor and spoken. But this was our second church that we had pioneered. So I had quite a bit of, you know, public speaking experience and preaching experience. So that part wasn't as intimidating to me probably as the, you know, just the everyday working with people stuff. I had thought that my husband and I pastored together, that we were, you know, co-pastors, but really, after he died, I found out that the buck had been stopping somewhere, and it wasn't with me until I took over that job. So, you know, I learned some things about how to deal with people, and, you know, thank God for His grace and His mercy and His help. We all need it.
Amen. So how long has your book been released now?
It just got released in July, July 9th, so how is it, July, August, September, October?
Oh, the ICRS was just before it got released.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't even released when I talked to you last.
Oh, wow. I hit it off with Karen so well.
We had fun.
She's just a loving, you can tell, person that loves God and just completely, she comes in there to promote Jesus, and her book's just a byproduct, and that's what I love. Because, you know, we do talk to a lot of people about their books and stuff, but when you come in and you just want to promote the Lord, and that's a blessing and stuff. And so how's the response been? I mean, it's been out for a few months now. So
it's been good, yeah. You know, I'm not on the inside of knowing exactly how many copies are sold or anything, but I've been getting so many good reports from people, so many wonderful testimonies, you know, because it's really a handbook for when you're stuck or a handbook for getting through the valley. You know, when something happens to us, we feel like we don't know anything anymore. Oh, my gosh, I thought I knew some stuff and I never expected this. But, you know, God isn't surprised by where you find yourself, and you do still know some things. And so it's a matter of focusing on the things you still know. God is still good. He's still got a good plan for your life. He still has a purpose for you. He's still multiplying you, you know. And so that's what the book is mostly about, is what to focus on, you know, because I think you can ask God all your tough questions. That's why it's
Amen.
Called Why, God, Why.
Amen.
There are people who say you should never question God, and I just think that's silly because, first of all, He knows the answers. He's your loving Father. He knows you're asking the questions in your head anyway, and you can't scare Him. He's heard everything before, you know. So I encourage people to ask Him, because instead of letting those questions stand between you and God, then you tend to get angry with Him. You get stuck in the valley of shadow. And so it's a book for getting through the valley. After you ask all your questions, what do you do? What do you focus on? And I don't know if you've read it, but, you know, in the book I talk about, It's like making a stew. When you make a stew, you've got the big pot of water on the front burner of your stove, and you cut up the veggies, and you cut up the meat, and you throw them all in, and then what do? You cover it, and you push it to the back burner. And I think we should do that with our questions. Be brave. Ask all the ugly questions you want. Write it down in your journal. Date it. Push it to the back burner, and then you go on cooking on the front burner for the rest of the meal. So you and I would say, Father, I'm pushing this to the back burner. I'm trusting you. I'm going to go on cooking with you on my front burners. I'm going to keep reading the Word. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep trusting you and praying and believing, and you'll answer my questions as you will. Or, you know, sometimes we don't even get answers, David, but sometimes we do. It takes a while sometimes, you know. The answering is God's part. It's what we do after asking the questions that makes us come through the valley. And so this is sort of your handbook for getting through the valley. What do I focus on my front burners?
That's amazing. And one thing that I know for sure, certain is that when life does have those issues that come up and that you're just stuck, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good just to talk to God like you would talk to anyone.
Absolutely.
And just to vent out, not in anger, not in like screaming. I mean, that might come up and that's fine sometimes, but just to say, Lord, I just don't understand what's going on. He wants to hear your heart. He knows
yes,
your heart,
he
but
does.
He wants you to express it. And when you
exactly.
when you do that, you're going to have a soothing about it. And you may not get the answers like you said. You may not, but at least you know you've talked to God. You got it off your chest, if you want to call it that way. And
yeah.
It just happens. Now, tell us about chapter 5. One thing never changes. I like that one. I like
and
that chapter.
Of course, that's about God. He never changes. You know, he said in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. And he said it again in the New Testament in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, you and I, David, we live in a world that is always changing. And, you know, if you suffer a loss, you may have thought things were going to go a certain way. I thought I was going to be married my whole adult life. You know, I thought I'd have my husband until we were old and gray. And poof, in a day that changes. You know, in an instant that changes. And it can get really disconcerting, you know, having the rug pulled out from under you. Things just keep on changing. Governments change and rules change and people change and you change. But God never changes. You and I are standing on a solid rock that's never going to change. Your covenant bought by the precious blood of Jesus, never going to change. He is God and always will be God. And I don't know about you, but that is a comfort to me.
That is awesome. That is awesome. You know, I've been enjoying the videos and the one you mentioned earlier about you're in your kitchen, I believe, and you're cooking and you put the
uh-huh.
put it in the back burner. You're showing us that the same thing you talked about just a minute ago, and that
yeah.
that just brought an image and it's important that we don't dwell on
right.
something and that we
right.
we move forward
right.
because we're going to be stuck if you got to go forward. There's no choice.
We've all known Christians who have gotten stuck, you know, something terrible happens to them and you ask them about it and it's just as fresh today as it was when it happened and they're just stuck there, you know. And God doesn't want you to get stuck. He wants to bring you through the pain. I wish that painful things didn't happen to people, you know. I wish I could wrap you all in cotton and put you in the closet and keep you safe, but that's no kind of life, living life in a closet, you know. And so things are going to happen, but it's your ability to move past them that makes life successful again, you know. And I just, so I always want to encourage people, keep going. You know, Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I think the key word in that scripture is through. You know, there are going to be valleys of shadow, but keep going through. And like I said, this is kind of a handbook for how to keep going through.
Amen. Now, when you wrote the book, how much of this was ministering to you as you were writing this?
You know, it was a wonderful cathartic experience. My husband's been dead 16 years now, you know, so obviously I've worked through things over the years, and really time does take care of a lot of things as long as you press into God, you know, as long as you focus on the things that He's promised. And so for me, it's just a delight to be able to share it. You know, I love that God can take what the devil meant for evil and work it for good. You know, we got stolen from in our family. Our dad and our husband got stolen, but isn't it just like God to turn that around and use it into, for something that we can help other people. So I have a passion for helping people who've been, you know, sideswiped by life and helping them get back on the road and keep going again. So that's really how I felt mostly while I was writing it, is this, ooh, I hope somebody reads this and it helps them. And that has been that's the reports I get back, so it's a joy for me.
It's always great getting testimonies of people getting blessed. Would you like to share a couple of those?
Yeah, let's see. One lady, in fact, I put this on the book's website, which is whygodwhybook.com. One lady wrote me and said that she had read it, and it changed her life so much. In fact, she said, this is the best book I've ever read beside the Bible. Come on, really? And so she told me that she read it, and it changed her life so much, she started giving it away. I think she's probably given away 20 or 30 copies to people in hospitals and people who work with, you know, veterans, and just a whole bunch of somebody who's going through a bankruptcy, you know, just a whole bunch of different things that people go through, and this book was helping all of them. I was just so excited that she was so excited about it, you know, giving it to so many people.
You know, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It is. And I talked with another person who had always wanted to be married. They're in their 30s and not married yet, you know, wanted children and everything, and they would ask, why, God, why, you know. And they went through the whole exercise of writing down all their, you know, good, bad, and ugly questions, all the hard questions they had for God. And it helped them to realize that some of the questions they were asking, you know, am I too ugly, am I too stupid, am I too whatever, that they were just being tormented by the devil.
Mm.
You know, those are devil thoughts. You know, God doesn't think about us that way. And so just by the exercise of writing down the questions, they realized that I'm not going to think those thoughts anymore at all. That's a lie from the pit of hell, you know. And it just helped them to kind of, and once they, you know, once you put all your questions in the pot and push it to the back burner, you sort of feel like God's got this. You know, they emerged from that exercise going, you know, God knows now everything that I feel, and he's working on it, and I still believe I'm going to get married and end up with family. And it was just the most cathartic exercise for him. And it, to tell you the truth, it wasn't something I had thought about in the why, God, why context, you know, that those would be the questions somebody asked. But that's what it seems to be, quite universal. You know, it's hitting people in just any area. I talked with another lady who was going through a divorce, you know. Actually, somebody who was interviewing me for a radio show, and the host was going through a divorce, you know, and read the book themselves. She said, I don't usually read the whole book of people that I'm interviewing, but I read your whole book because it helped me so much, you know. So we all have questions. We all go through valleys, and it just seems that this is a book that lifts people up and helps them get back on track again.
Amen. Now, what has helped you? You wrote the book, Why God Why, but what helped you?
Well, all those things, really, that most of the chapters are about, you know, focusing on the fact that God still has a good plan. That, you know, your plan, my plan, I thought my plan was to be married to my husband my whole adult life, you know, and we'd go through ministry together, and boop, plan gone, you know, in one moment. So, but then when you realize, no, this didn't come as a surprise to God. We might be surprised by where we find himself, but he never is. And that means he's got it. I told my kids, we're going to go with God's other plan A, boys. Let's go. You know?
Amen.
Because
amen.
It's not even God's plan B, which sounds worse than plan A, you know? It's just that God knew where we were, knows how to bring us out of this and set our feet upon a rock and, you know, establish us and keep us going. And so that was a huge help to me, to know that my times are in his hands. You know, he does have a good plan. And really, looking back over the last 16 years, my life has been amazing. You know, I never thought I'd get to travel the world and teach at Rhema and do all the great things that God has set up for me. So I can tell you, he knows how to bring you out exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think.
Amen. But if you didn't start going forward, that never would have happened.
Right. No, exactly. It takes faith. It really does. I mean, you have to keep believing that God has your best interest at heart. You have to believe Romans 8:28 that says, this we know, he's working all things together for our good. You know, because it's easy when you have your questions to go get mad at God. You know, God, why did you let this happen? I'm not serving a God who would let this happen. Well, then you've taken yourself off the track, you know, and you're saying, I'm stuck right here. But if you stay on the track with God, he can totally turn the situation around for you and make it turn out good. I've seen him do it again and again. You've come too late to tell me that the word doesn't work, you know.
Amen. And just your chapter titles, I got to tell you, they're ministering. Just your chapter title. I mean, chapter 9, you are loved. That's just powerful. I mean, if you want to hear something when you're going through a storm, if you want to hear something when you're just down and you just don't, you know, one thing us Christians do, and it's almost not even just Christians, but when we're not feeling good, we don't want to pick up the phone. We don't want to be cheerful.
We kind of sequester ourselves off, you know, and that's not good when we need people the most.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I thought about this one day. If one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. How much more can our church be when we're really down?
Yes.
And we have hundreds in there. So
the chapter called You Haven't Lost Your Place, mm-hmm. you know, that addresses that really a lot. First of all, you haven't lost your place seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're still far above all principalities and powers, even if you got dealt a blow, that's still where you're seated, you know. But also, you haven't lost your place in the body of Christ. Too many people, you know, stop going to church or stop hanging out with their Christian friends if they're mad at God or whatever, and that's when they need their body the most. You know, James talks about Satan being a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, think about a lion chasing a herd of antelope. Who's he looking for? He's looking for the one off by itself.
Mm.
You know, and he may devour that one because that person has separated themselves from the herd. So don't separate from the herd when something bad happens.
I've seen that on the Animal Channel. I seen that.
Exactly.
I've seen a lot of the Christians swallow to that one.
It's
crazy.
So don't move from your place. You need the body.
Amen. And in chapter 10, God still thinks you're coming out on top. That's awesome.
Yes, he does. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. You know,
amen.
Always is always. And so there are people who look at their situation and go, well, I am not triumphing now. And my answer to that is, well, then it ain't over.
Because amen.
He always causes you to triumph.
You know, that's one thing about the Christian faith that we have to just believe. That's without faith, it is impossible to please God.
It's true.
We have to believe. Even in our hardest circumstances, we have to keep believing.
Well, and you know what? We can't do it without the Word, David. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans says. And so that's the thing. I just dived into the Word. I was a Word girl before my husband died, but I just spent hours and hours. I would tell people I ran my finger down the page like a 5-year-old learning to read because I knew I had to have His Word. We can't have faith without His Word. You know, Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And too many of us are letting it dwell in us poorly, you know. I mean, we do maybe a 3-minute devotional a day or not even that. You know, every day you go without reading the Bible is a day you're trying to live life in your own strength, and it's too hard for you.
Mm, that's powerful. That's powerful, especially
for someone
that's been ministering for so long to say, hey, I need my Word.
every day. Yeah, we're just not meant to. We can't keep the right thoughts in our head if we're not putting the Word into our hearts and mind.
That's true. That's so true. I mean, that'll keep us out of a lot of bad situations. We just focus on the Word. And I see a lot of people and that just they're content with getting the Word from the pulpit. That's it. No,
right.
You got to devour it. You got to jump on that every day and make sure it's going through your heart.
The curse is working 24/7, you know.
Oh,
Satan
absolutely.
Is the god of this world because it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And so we have to, you know, one thing I always tell people, don't forget John 10:10, where Jesus said, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. People attribute things to God that He never did. You know, I'm sorry God took your husband. No. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're not clear on the fact that God is good and the devil is bad, then you don't know what to believe God for. You think He did it. You think He caused your trial. No, Satan is the god of this world. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. If there's any stealing, killing, or destroying going on in your life, it came from the devil. And here's God. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So He knows how to lift you up out of the places where the devil stole, killed, or destroyed from you and give you back Zoe kind of life, you know, the abundant life of God.
Amen. And, you know, Karen just caps all books with in her last chapter, in the end, you win.
Right. We go to heaven.
Amen.
We win.
Amen. In the end, you win. I mean, what better way to finish up a book like that?
Yes, say, right.
Say no matter what. Have you had any... anyone ask you about the title? Did it make some good conversations?
Well, you know, it's kind of catchy, and people, I have had somebody kind of wonder if it was about, you know, railing at God, and of course it's not. It's about, you know, what to do when you have questions, what to do when life doesn't make sense. And, you know, I'm hoping that even somebody hurting maybe not doesn't even know Jesus, but there are people who aren't saved who have asked the same questions. You know, why, God? Why did you let this happen? And I think even for Christians, it's brought some things up that they didn't even realize they were questioning, you know?
Yes.
So it's definitely an eye-catcher, and I'm glad, because that's what, you know, we're trying to get people to pick it up so that they can make their way through the valley.
Mm. Amen. Are you still pastoring, Karen?
No, because I work at Rhema, I was pastoring in Boise, you know, and now I moved to Tulsa, and I work at Rhema 40 hours a week, so that's my job.
Oh, well, wow, that keeps you busy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so where are some of the places that you've been able to travel since you've been doing this?
Gosh, well, I get to go to Europe every summer and teach at Rhema's Overseas, which is a blessing. Rhema has, you know, like 170 campuses around the world.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so that's awesome. It's a blessing to get to go to other countries and see the Word working. You know, the Word, thank God, works in every society, every culture, you know, and it's just a blessing to see the Word of faith being spread and people's lives being changed. And I travel in the States as well. I just got back from New York. I did a book signing up there and a ladies' retreat and got to be there just in the fall of the year, you know, upstate New York. It was gorgeous. So I really enjoy traveling and meeting different people in churches, and it's a blessing.
It's awesome to be in the will of God, my sister.
It is, isn't it? It's the only place to be.
Amen, no matter where you're at. You know, I was in Nairobi, and I got back a week before that attack happened at Westgate Mall. I was inside that mall, and God opened a divine appointment for me with the Safaricom internet provider that we're trying to broadcast. We're going to broadcast from here to the to the fields of the internet. And then you're going to be able to see from here, you'll see the fields of the internet because we're going to broadcast back. And so you'll be able to see crowds of hundreds of people, you know, 500, we're going to start with that. And then eventually get it to where it's open air, and we're doing the open air forum. But I had to have a contact there for the internet because, you know, internet over there is horrible. So, and Safaricom I met them in that Westgate Mall, and you know, long story short, they got me a meeting with executives. I'm with their board of directors and executives meeting 30 minutes later. and pitching, you know, what everything. It's like meeting with AT&T or T-Mobile and they're bored. So they're going to pay for everything for us to start this out there, and definitely going to include you on that. Definitely we'll get
a
hold of you.
That's so great. And, David, awesome.
Because imagine not ever having to travel overseas, but just ministering to Kenya, India, all over the world just from my studios. That'd be a quicker trip, you know, a couple hour flight to Houston and back, and you're out there doing what you got to do. You don't have to be gone. Anyway, I was in that mall a week before.
Wow.
And then so, you know, but God's will, it protects you. It'll always protect. When you're in His will, you're safer than being in your living room when you're in His will. Amen. Well, Karen, I want you to tell everybody how they can get your book.
There's several different ways. You can get it on Amazon. You can buy it at almost any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Christian bookstores. You can get it at the book's website, whygodwhybook.com. Be sure to add the book. There's on that website, too, there's videos. You can watch interviews about me talking about the book. You can watch the chapter videos that you know, have been watching. You can read the first chapter for free on the book's website. So there's all those options for getting your own copy.
Amen. Thank you so much, Karen, for being on the air with us.
Thank you for having me, David. It's been a blessing.
All right. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. That was Ms. Karen Jensen. And I tell you what, she's a blessing, and we're excited for having her here at the show. And we're believing that God's going to do great things with her on her book and everything that she's doing, because God wants that word out there. There's so many people that ask questions on what's going on, how they're going to get through life after a huge, huge crisis comes to them. This book, Why God, Why, will help you understand. Like she said, it's a manual to work through life, to work through your crisis, and keep it around. Buy a couple extra copies, give it to other people as well, but keep it around because you will need it. I guarantee it, you will need it. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and unjust. The sun rises on the just and the unjust. So anytime the curse is out there, it's going to be coming. It's a horrible thing that we have to say, but you have to be prepared to step forward when that happens. Anyway, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 7325. God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Text Rev Media to 77948.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.